welcome this evening.
When I'm low in spirit, I cry, Lord, lift me up. I want to go higher with Thee. But the Lord knows I can't live on a mountain. So He paid. Dark as a dungeon, and the sun seldom shines, and I question, dear Lord, why must this be? Then He tells me there's strength in those sorrows, and there's victory.
You all had a nice meal and a nice nap, because if you didn't, I don't want you taking a nap right now. I want you alert. Every time we come to church, for God's people, it needs to be a blessing, a joy to come and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is our obligation here as God's people. And when we do it with a willful and cheerful heart, it doesn't matter if there's 100 people, if there's 2 persons, which doesn't feel too good when there's only 2 people. But it's like if you would make a nice hot meal and invite people, and then nobody comes but 2 people, and all that food wasted. But sometimes it happens that way. Today's message, I've entitled it, When the Enemy Quotes Scripture. When the Enemy Quotes Scripture. Okay. I don't know if it's 1 Timothy 2:15, the Word of God says, study to show thyself approved unto God. First, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, righteously dividing the word of God. Why? Because if we don't study, the enemy will come and with God's word, he'll try to put doubt in your mind, in your heart, in your life. The enemy will use people that are not Christians or that supposedly say Christians and will use scripture for their benefit instead of for the honor and glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come this afternoon, Father, thank you for this morning, the choir, the singing, and the message. And we enjoyed it because you gave it to us. And as your children, we received it and we got a blessing out of it. And may we take that blessing with us throughout the week, that when we run into people, Lord, you are coming, whether we believe it or not. You're coming. And we as your people need to be ready as if you're coming tomorrow morning. We should be ready, Lord. Sometimes we ask that you forgive us, Lord, because we forget, Lord. And we put our guard down. So forgive us, Lord, and help us to understand that we should be on the guard 24/7, Lord, until you come for us, Lord. Father, I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you speak to our minds, to our hearts. Give us your power to do your will, Father. And when we ask that you guard our minds, that you guard our hearts, Lord, wash us and clean us through your Holy Spirit, through your blood. And Father, we ask your power. And since we are asking for your power, then all glory must be given to you, Father. So as your children, help us to be obedient unto you. This evening, I pray that you speak to our hearts. In Christ's name, I thank you. Amen. Okay. In Genesis 2. 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. If you notice, when you're doing something with clay or whatever, but you're a picture, you're drawing it, God out of the dust, and he forms a shape of a man. Okay? And it looks like a man, but that man is dead. It's not alive. Okay? But something happens. For the first time, God performs CPR. Okay? Look what happens here. It says, he formed, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril. That's CPR right there, right? The breath of life, and man became a living soul. When it's talking, it's not just life, physical life, but when God formed you and me, see, there's a difference between you and I, between us and God. When God blew, if you notice, he created everything, and God said, let there be, and God said, let there be this, and let the stars and everything, and they were created. But with man, he took us personally with his hands, and with his hands, he formed man out of the ground, and then performed CPR. And you and I became a living soul. And the difference between God, see, God is eternal. God has no beginning, God has no end. And you and I are eternal. The difference, we started being eternal the day that he blew into our nostrils. Okay? And so whether you die and go to heaven, or die and go to hell, you'll be eternal. Because God blew that breath of life into you and me, and this is why it's so important. Look at Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And it says, and God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Let us make, he's talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's no difference. As Creator, we know Him as God. As Savior, we know Him as our Lord Jesus Christ. As our Counselor, we know Him as the Holy Spirit. Now, if you get a dime, what's the value of a dime? 10 cents. Okay? Now, if you get that dime and get 2 nickels, what's the value of those 2 nickels? 10 cents. And if you get those 2 nickels and turn them into 10 pennies, what's the value of it? 10 cents. Got the Father, got the Son, and got the Holy Spirit the same. There's no difference. But they all play a different role in our lives. Okay? And so it says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. We have the likeness. We can love just as God loved us. You know what? There's people that we can't stand, but God tells us to love them, and we can love as Christians. We can learn to love them and pray for them, right? Is God patient with us? And sometimes we have family members that we want to choke them. But God tells them, I have been patient with you. You need to learn to be patient with them. Yes? But I can't forgive him. I can't forgive her for what she did to me. But God forgave you all your sins and washed you. And God gives you the ability through the Holy Spirit to learn to forgive your brother and sister. We are made in the likeness of his image. And most of all, we are eternal, whether we like it or not. Okay? And so, he says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and free and female created he them. Again, and this is another topic, but God said he created a male and a female. He did not create Adam and Johnny, and he did not create Eve and Annie. Okay? He created a man, and he created a woman. Okay? And so this is where we need to be very careful when Satan, and it started in the Garden of Eden, and it's still continuing. When we are Christians, and we put our guard down, and we don't put God first, and we put our selfishness first, you're bound to trouble, for trouble. Okay? It says here, when the enemy quotes scripture, it's always with a half-truth and for his own selfish and evil purpose. When he quotes that. And we need to remember that a half-truth is always a lie. Okay? Yeah, I'm telling you half-truth, but it's not when... You know, you either tell the truth or you don't. And when you say half-truth, you're lying. We're lying. And we need to be very careful when the enemy makes us. You know where he gets to us? To our mind. That's why it's very important for you and me when we get up, when we come to church, when we go to work, Lord, guard my mind. Because that's the first place that Satan will attack. He cannot attack your heart, because who lives there? The Holy Spirit lives in there. But he'll work with your mind and put doubt so that you can say, well, God, did you really say that? Yes, he did. And there's no doubt about it. And when the enemy comes knocking, you have no reason to answer the devil. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I don't even have a reason to answer you. I belong to my King, and I give answers to him. And I rebuke you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll have a success. God, guide my mind. Protect me. Protect my heart, which is your soul. And may I give you the, may you give me the strength so that I could give you the honor and glory. Because if we don't, we're going to fail. The flesh will kick in. Doubt will kick in. And Satan is ready to see where. And again, Satan is the accuser. How many of us have failed God this week? And I think all of us. And you know what? The enemy. Did you see Tony? Did you see Enoch? Oh, he read the Bible, but did you? And always accusing us. Okay? But we belong so to the Lord. So when the devil comes tempting us, in the name of Christ, I rebuke you, Lord. This dirty, rotten devil is trying to make me go astray. And I pray that he has to give an account to you. And if the devil comes and tempts you, he's going to have to give an account to God. Now, if you let him in, the Lord will give you the tools to get him out. But if you let the devil in, he'll take, you give him an inch, he'll take a whole mile. We need to be very careful. Very careful. And so, look what happened to Eve. Okay, let's go to Genesis 3, 1 through 4. And I have them with big letters right there. So I'm going to read it from the Bible. Bear with me. Genesis 3, 1 through 4. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said? Doubt right there. Yes, God said, but he said, has God said? Hold on. Ye shall, okay. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of life? A tree of the garden? Putting doubt on her, okay? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, we should not eat of it. Neither shall ye touch it, lest we die. Eve is saying what God had told them. Now, God did not talk direct to Eve. God talked direct to Adam. And so Adam related the message to Eve. And when Adam related the message to Eve, it's like God spoke to the woman. Okay? Just like when the preacher, the Sunday school teacher, gives you the message, it's not the preacher or the teacher teaching, it's God telling you what to do. So it's like God spoke to you, okay? And God speaks to us. And look what the dirty old serpent says. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. That was a half truth. Because the devil knew that when God blew in the nostrils of man, we became eternal. So yes, you might die physically. We're going to start to deteriorate and die because we have a sin against God. But our soul will live forever. You shall not surely die. And so he told them a half truth. Yes, you're not going to die. But Satan wanted to get her off track so that if you die now, you're mine. I got you where I want to. But again, the Lord provided. What did they do? They went and covered themselves with leaves. This is what we try to do. Cover ourselves, hide from God with something that's artificial. So the Lord had to kill for the first time two little lambs. Okay? And the blood, when they confessed, what they did, they put their hands on that little lamb. And God didn't kill it. God said, you have to kill it. You're going to act as a priest. And so Adam killed that lamb. And that little lamb died for them. And so for the first time, and what did they do? They put coats of sheepskin. That's a sign that they had repented, but it was too late. Okay? The devil deceived Eve. And then Eve deceived Adam. Okay? And this is where it gets messy when we get in trouble. Ah, Lord, the woman that thou gavest me. And the woman says, the serpent beguiled me. And so we get in trouble because, Lord, instead of asking the Lord to forgive us, we get in the flesh and we need to be very careful. Satan will use scripture against us to try to deceive us. Okay? So, when the enemy or an unbeliever quotes scriptures to us, it is to accuse us or for their benefit. So we need to compare the scripture with what God is saying versus what our selfish way wants. Okay, you quote to me scripture, okay, but that's not what it's saying, brother. You're trying to get a square and fit it into a circle. Yeah, but, and it sometimes it sounds good, but it's not the truth. And we need to be as Christians on the guard all the time. Look, let's go to Matthew. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 4. And again, I'm going to read it 1 through 10. Bear with me, that was too long, so I'm going to read it. And look at what happened again. Satan trying to put doubt into Jesus. Okay? Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards in hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, again, look at that. Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, right? But look at what Satan's trying to do. If thou be the Son of God, he was. But he's trying to put doubt. If you're a Christian, go ahead, Frank, get up on the roof and jump. God's going to take care of you. What, are you chicken? Don't you trust in God? No. It says here, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered again with scripture. This is where we need to answer the enemy or the people or the person that's trying to convince you. When they quote scripture, you quote scripture back to them the right way. Let them know that they're wrong because God says. And you're trying to make a circle fitting a square. It's not going to happen. Okay? And then he says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and says unto him, again, look at what he's saying, if thou be the Son of God. He was. Okay. Cast thyself down, for it is written. Again, he's quoting scripture. The devil is quoting scripture. And you know that the devil can quote scripture better than you and I, but he won't accept it. But he, like a parrot, will mimic what he sees. Okay. So he says, where am I? Verse 6. Okay. And he says unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dashest thy foot against a stone. He was quoting this from Deuteronomy. Okay? And Jesus said unto him, again with the scripture, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. You're going to be famous, brother. I mean, yeah, you're going to miss church and, well, the Lord will understand, but you're going to have a lot of money. And there's nothing wrong with having money, but when the devil gets you and gives you money, it's because he's going to destroy you and your family. And you might have all the riches of the world, but you won't be happy. And once you're there, he won't care for you. So he says, again, the devil taketh him up into exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and says unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Who's the creator of heaven and earth, of everything? Jesus Christ, God, the Holy Spirit. What could the devil give Christ that he didn't already have? But again, because he was in the flesh and he was tempted like you and me, but he never sinned, but he tried to. And he says, then says Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for again with the Bible, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Don't answer Satan for nothing. He comes, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the Lord. I pray that you guide me. Give him no answer. He's not your boss, and I don't care how many darts he throws at you, you give God the glory. Don't ever complain for whatever you have. You might be rich, you might be struggling with your health or financially, but you give God the glory. Don't ever try to answer. See, where's your God? He's where he's always been, and he's in the center of my heart. I plead the blood of Christ, and boy, Satan hates the name of Jesus. Satan hates when you plead the blood of Christ. Satan hates for you to ask counsel of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be very careful so that we can walk victorious. So now, look at John. Let's go to the book of John. Again, this is people, religious people, trying to convince us to do something that is wrong. Look at the book of John 3 through 9. John 8, 3 to 9. Let me start from the beginning. I'm getting braver by the minute here. So. The Lord said, okay, settle down. Don't overdo it. But it says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him and sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. He opened the door and voila, there she was. Sounds ugly, but that's what was happening. Okay? And those holy religious people, in the first place, what were they doing there? See, that woman wasn't in a holy place. She was probably in a place where prostitutes prostitute themselves. What were they doing? What do you and I have to do in a bar? We have no business. Oh, I was trying to win him over to the Lord. You're never going to win a drunk to the Lord, especially in a bar. And your testimony is going to get dirty. Okay? So, now Moses, look what they're doing. They're using scripture. They're using it from Deuteronomy 20, 10 and Deuteronomy 22, 22. We're not going to go there. But it says, now Moses in the law commanded us, oh, the holy ones, the holy rollers, that such should be stoned. And they already had their big old stones. I mean, they found the biggest stone that they could pick up. And they were up there and they would put the woman in a place on the bottom. And it was like in a circle, like a bull pit, fighting ring. Oh, this one, I'm not going to mess with this one. I'm going to throw. This is God's people. Well, religious people. And look what they say. Now Moses in the law commanded us that we should be, that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? See, turning the word of God on him, trying to put the blame on him. And so in verse 6 he says, this they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard not. They're talking, and Jesus knows what they're doing. And the temple must have been real nice, but it was dirt because he's in the temple. And Jesus trying to ignore him, but they wouldn't. And he just like, he's not writing anything, but he just like trying to ignore them, but they wouldn't leave him alone. And maybe, some say, maybe he was saying, where is the other half? If that woman committed adultery, maybe he was saying, where's the other guy? She didn't commit adultery by herself. And so, or maybe he was just, but when they would not leave him alone, he got up. Okay? He gets up. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Oh, I'm sorry. So when they continued, so in verse 7, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast the first stone. Let him first cast the first stone, okay? And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Where's the other guy? Maybe. I don't know what he wrote. Okay. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went one out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Isn't that something? They're ready to throw a stone. And no, maybe they didn't commit adultery, but boy, they were in their mind, my goodness, if I had a chance with this one, my goodness, I would go with her. And the Bible says, if any man looks at a woman to lust upon her, he has what? Already committed adultery. And maybe they didn't bring the other person because he probably was a relative of them. Oh, well, he's my son, he's my cousin, all that, he's okay. But she caused a problem. And see how they're using the word of God? When the enemy quotes scripture, when anyone that's walking not right with the Lord, they'll do that. But if we, you don't have to fight with them. Well, that's what you're saying, but is that what God's saying? Because anytime you quote scripture, it's to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. When you quote scripture in the flesh, it's to edify yourself in a selfish way because you want something that is wrong and you're trying to quote scripture to justify yourself and you're wrong. And the Lord will not let you do such a thing. So now we see in Ephesians, when I was pastoring a church, this man, I don't think he was saved, to tell you the truth. He would go to church, but The Bible says that by their fruits ye shall know them. And I mean, I know we're not perfect, but this man had no signs of a Christian. He was there because if he wouldn't go to church, his wife sometimes, he was a drunk. He was a womanizer. But in order to get right with his wife, he would go to church and try to pretend that he was an angel when he was a wolf in sheep's clothing. And this is what he would say. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Very punctual. And I thought this was a Hispanic or a Latin macho thing, but no, I through the years I've learned that this is a macho man thing, that we think that because we are the man and they're the woman, that they're a piece of property. It's wrong. It's wrong. So look at what it says there in Ephesians 5:24. It says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in how many things?
Everything.
Get that broom. It says right there. So this man, and I said, if your life is in danger, I will not advise you to get a divorce, but if your life is in danger, I will call for separation because of your safety. And he would get all red and all mad. And I said, okay. See, brother, sit right there. We need counseling. And they would sit down and he would quote that scripture because he wanted her to submit to everything. If I tell you to bow, you need to bow. Because it says right there, using scripture for his own selfish reason. And so I would say, well, let's go to verse 25. Okay? Since it says, husband, love your wives. Is that like you're loving your wife? No. It says, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Look at verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, and he that loveth his wife loveth himself. Do you really love yourself? Do you love your wife? Do you make her feel comfortable? Or do you just want to use her like a slave? Oh, brother. And look at what verse 21 says. Because there'll be problems in our marriage. If you say that you've been married for 40, 50 years and you've never had problems, you probably don't live in the same roof. Probably live over there and over here, and you probably talk by phone, and when you don't like what she's telling you or what he's telling you, okay? There'll always be problems, but we need to work together, especially, Lord, guide our minds, our hearts, and our marriage. And help us, Lord, if I'm wrong, again, not even, but when I'm wrong, okay, because if it means that she's wrong or he's wrong. So, but look at verse 21. Submit yourself one to another in the fear of God. When you put God first in your life, you will treat your other half as your own self. And so, see, how the devil not only quotes scripture, he uses people that think that they're doing right, the right thing. But when you get the right, that's why study to show thyself approved before God. A man that righteously will divide the word of God. No, it's not, and you don't have to even yell, listen, let's see what God says. And now if you don't want to follow him, well, you don't want to. But he sure learned that he wasn't going to do what he was doing. He wasn't going to dominate his wife the way he wanted. And he wasn't going to fool this person because this person was quoting the word of God. He would quote me the word of God his way, like Satan. But guess what? The Lord would give me wisdom to with his own word, and he couldn't go here or there. Okay? And let's go ahead and look at Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:23. We're almost done. Okay? 1 Timothy 5:23. Again, this is for people, and we as Christians have no business in the bar. We as Christians don't even have the right for a drink of beer or wine. We have no business. Okay? Everything, I can do many things, but not everything is the right thing for me to do. Okay? If I drink a beer, am I going to help? No, but it's not the right example, and it's not going to take me in the right direction. But brother, this guy would say, the Bible gave permission to drink. Oh, they're very biblical. They would go to this verse 5:23. And it says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. See, right there. God's given us permission to get drunk. And the devil has you completely wrapped up. That's what he's doing. And you, if you're a Christian, you need to say, Lord, forgive me. I have left myself myself be wrapped around with the devil's spider web. And the only way that you can get away from it is, Lord, forgive me. I am willing to repent. I am wrong. And I don't care how strong, if I'm struggling because I opened the door for Satan, I am still your child and I will be struggling with this problem. Why? Because I opened the door. But Lord, you have given me the tools to free myself, and that's the blood of Christ. Then you start hanging around God's people instead of people in the bar. You have no business over there. You have no business watching the... You know what? There's a lot of good programs in TV. There's a lot of bad programs. But even the good programs... I like sitting down and watching TV. But when the TV turns into 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and the TV paralyzes you where you don't read God's word, guess what the devil is going to do? Put things in your mind. And so we need to be very, very careful. The reason that Paul was telling Timothy, see, in the time, the water was contaminated. And Timothy had a stomach problem. And so he said, now, when you have a cold, I'm not going to drink liquor. But you know what? When I have a cold, then they tell me you need NyQuil. Guess what NyQuil is? 90% alcohol. Well, it's medicine, so I'll just drink the whole bottle. No, you don't drink the whole bottle. You drink it for your cold. And Paul told Timothy, drink a little bit of wine for your stomach's sake. Not alcohol, but wine. When Christ said, I will no longer drink from the vine until I drink it in my Father's. He's talking about when you get the grapes and get juice. That kind of, that's what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about fermented liquor, but oh, well, it's okay. And they have even, I've seen bottle, Christian Wine Brothers. They have a bottle right there. It's wrong. I had a brother and came. Hey, brother. And he bought a bottle that looked like champagne. I said, get that thing out of here. But it's not, it's just, it's wine, it's juice. Yeah, but it's with a double meaning. I have no reason for that. And the reason I say that, because alcohol liquor, drugs destroyed my life. Liquor and drugs and alcohol destroyed all my family members, my wife's family members, my friends, my enemies. And I want nothing to do with that. But brother, I'm working on it. No, you need to do more than work on it. You need to snap out of it, especially if you're a child of God. And ask God to forgive you. Charlie Yates used to say, don't come to me and ask me to pray for you for a sin that you're going to do next week. You ask the Lord to help you, and then I'll pray for you. And you make the change. It starts with me. It starts, you know what? I mean, when I was, I'm not going to drink no more. And I wasn't a Christian, but you know what? My friends were over there drinking, and I could smell it a mile away. And there I go to the slaughterhouse. And I thank the Lord that he took me out of the rags of hell. So we need to be careful. So that's why, and let's finish with this. 1 Timothy 2:15. I hope I have it right. No, I don't have it right. I think it's 2 Timothy. It's 2 Timothy 2:5. Yes, 2 Timothy 2:5. That's why it's very important when it says, study to show thyself approved unto who? First of all, to God, because you're not fooling. You might be fooling me, or I might be fooling you, but you're not fooling God. So it says, as the children of God, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, rightly using the word of truth. Let's go ahead and pray, and I pray that this simple message might have touched your heart, and may we put it to use in our lives. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we thank you for your message this morning. It's not to put nobody down. It's to make us aware that as Christians, we are receiving darts every day, night and day from the enemy, but we have control when we study your word. Satan is not our master. You are, Lord. So we have no reason even to give an account to him when he comes trying to make us doubt. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke you. Father, rebuke Satan. And from our hearts, from our minds, from our hearts, and from our lives. Father, where we are strong in your word, keep us there. Where we are weak, Father, help us to plead the blood of Christ. Help us to ask for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. Empower us with your power that we may give you the glory. Because if we don't give you the glory, then the flesh will take over, and we will be fleshy people trying to do our own things. And that will lead us to trouble. Thank you for this message this morning. Father, I pray that you be with Sam and Lloydia as they're on their way down, probably already down to Las Vegas. Be with our pastor and his wife, Michelle. And be with those that are under the weather this day. And those that will be traveling, we pray for your traveling mercies on Ed and Faye as they take their mom, their mother-in-law. Be with each and every one of us this week, Lord. Dismiss us with your blessing. In Christ's name, we thank you. Amen. Thank you.